Resonant Truth presents Natural Time, Mayan Astrology for a Modern Age. I'm Lisa Starr. I was raised in the faith of the Mayan sacred calendars. These ancient cycles have been resurrected for a modern audience and called Natural Time, in part because our year of uneven month lengths is, by comparison, really unnatural. I am not here to lead any kind of revolt against the Gregorian calendar, but I do want to bring the Mayan alternative to light, and I want you to know about Mayan astrology, where the passage of time and your birthday within it has deep mystical and magical significance according to indigenous spirituality. I am passionate, I am transparent, and I am emotionally available, if not volatile. And that's because I'm a blue overtone storm. You can find out what you are at Resonant Truth. Today on the Zulcan count is called White Solar Wind, and it is the ninth day of the White Wizard Wave spell. And it is the Electric Moon, day three. And in all honesty, I'm actually speaking from Red Galactic Dragon. This podcast will go up a little early. I'm podcasting right now because I feel like my head is going to explode with Mayan synchronicity slash a form of suffering. So I thought I would talk about my findings and also just give myself the gift of talking about the calendar, which is always super centering. So let's just get excited about having made it out of the lunar moon. And now we are in the electric moon. It started on Monday. And the electric moon is just this liftoff, kind of a release, a karmic release from so much lunar tone experience. It's like we had 14 moons of the lunar experience interrupted by the magnetic moon that was July 26th of this year, but we had 13 moons of the blue lunar storm year. Then we started this yellow electric seed year, and it was in the magnetic moon for 28 days, but then we flipped back to the lunar moon of the year. And as I've said a number of times, a number of episodes, it's just a lot for everyone to bear. And the theme of polarity or polarization has just been so fraught and pervasive. And it'll be really interesting to see if we evolve past the extreme polarization that has taken over our culture, at least primarily the American culture, now that we are liberated from a really long tour through the lunar tone that describes polarity so readily. The electric tone asks, how can I best be of service? It's an orientation, how can I best be of service in this wave spell, whichever wave spell we're in. So if it's an electric day, we ask, how can I best be of service for this 13-day wave spell? If it's the electric moon, that's how can I best be of service for this 13 moon year? And if it's an electric year, which it is, we ask, how can I best be of service for these 13 years, which started a couple of years ago? And it's a white wizard 13-year wave spell. So how can I best be of service in this 13-year wave spell of the white wizard? We're going to find out in this yellow electric seed year. And we should get some really clear indicators in this electric moon because it's showing us, of course, service for the year, but it's amplifying the electric tone of our year. So it's just one of these things. I use the word epicentric. It's like all these circling, compounded energies give us a really clear indication of what's going on. So if it's the electric moon in an electric year, we're going to have a very clear answer to how we can best be of service, because the question is consolidated, addressing two of the three calendars that we are tracking here. We're tracking 13 moons, 13 years, 13 days. So we're going to come to an electric day in 5 or 6 days. It'll be electric day and an electric moon and an electric year. And it should really, really give us answers of how we can best be of service. I just like to talk about the electric tones question, how can I best be of service? Because I think it's one of the foundational attractions to me about paying attention to the Mayan rhythms and the modernized vernacular that José Arguelles bequeathed us. How can I best be of service is a perfect thing to ask right now. Because in any wave spell, no matter the length, we've had the magnetic tone, which says, what is my purpose? And then the lunar tone, which says, what is my challenge? And it's like, rather than fixating on our purpose or what's hard in our challenge, we just drop it. Like, I don't know, how can I best be of service? It's just like a really cool ego curbing. So again, so that we can't fixate and just be obsessed either with, I got to get this done, this is what I'm supposed to do, me, me, me. Or the sort of more self-pitying form of like, this is so challenging, it's just hard, it's not easy, I don't know how to do this when there's this much challenge. We let go of both of those. One, like a forceful can-do-it-ness, and then a kind of depressive, I can't do it. I'm not sure those are the really authentic experiences for the magnetic and lunar tone, but they're kind of a comical distillation. And so we just let it go. How can I best be of service? It's sort of like, oh, rewind. Life is about being of service. How can I do that? Why don't I think about that right now? And part of the mechanics of the electric tone are that we can suddenly be of service and not in a form of survival, because the electric, the word, the description of electric means that we are being electrified by a higher power, that we are fortified when we get to the third tone with something that comes from outside ourselves. And it's a frequency. It's divine guidance. It's divine power running through us. It's just a loving relationship to some otherworldly, omniscient presence that gives us a force and a desire to be of service to others, because we're basically channeling divinity to be able to act in a way that would have something to offer others in service. So one of the cool things about the electric tone, especially the 28 day one, that's a little like, it's in the middle of the road, it's not a day, it's not a year, it's in the middle, is that we can just, it's not really like an instructional on like, you need to do these helpful, charitable things in this moon to check off a box of morality and, you know, virtue. But it's more learning, like, what, how could I best be of service? Like, what would be an efficient, effective, influential, positive, helpful way for me to act? What, how will I be directed to be helpful or useful? Like, how am I best useful in society, in relationships, in culture, to others? How can I best be of service to others, essentially? And so we just look for the signs. I went into San Quentin Prison. I live next door. And I had my first volunteerism. I've signed on to be a study hall tutor, which is not an illustrious kind of act. You know, it's not like I'm teaching a class or anything. You know, really, there's no self-aggrandizing in this. It's just like, well, they have a more low-level volunteer need, and it's to help those who are actually studying for their bachelor's in the prison to understand their assignments and make their writing coherent. So I went inside this prison for the first time, and it was actually the last day of the lunar moon. But it was a perfect capitulation point of the lunar moon following, as I've described, the lunar year. It's really hard. Life is full of shadow. I'm going to go be of service over here. And what I found inside the prison, a couple of things, like I grew up, you know, in proximity to the prison because it's really a fixture that you can see all over Marin County where I am from. So you drive by on the freeways, you see it across the waterways, you see it from the top of the mountain. It's sort of a sprawling bayside edifice, and in my youth, I was just preoccupied with what could be happening inside, you know, the mystery of mass incarceration. So here I am at 52, and I have had kind of a bucket list for a decade or more that I would like to do service at a prison. I think that mass incarceration is one of the ways that my emotional synapses are inflamed, just contemplating how difficult that would be. And wanting to be of service in some way to that population. So I went in, and I am just sharing that I went inside this unknown, mysterious compound for the first time. And that was really, really cool. And interacted with some inmates and saw some patterns. I was a school teacher for a bit, and it's a lot of the same. There's a lot of childlike spirits in incarceration because of the stunted nature of that situation, or an innocence for people that have peeled back the layers of their own criminal darkness or hardness and are more vulnerable because they're trapped, and so they act like childlike in some way, and being sort of the maternal nurturer. I'm talking about all this because it was such an obvious release from the lunar polarity into the electric tone. And I guess I just want to benchmark it here because it'll be one of the things that starts to become part of my storytelling, because I'll be going in there once a week, and feel like it's my community. Like, I moved into a community. It's a neighborhood thing. They're my neighbors. So in my neighborhood, there are inmates, and I'll be interested to see how the synchronicities of the Mayan teachings inform my experience of participating in there in service. Not a superhero, just being of service. You know, there's no identification of like, I am so great because I am of service in the electric tone. We are all designed to be of service. This is one of the spiritual paths that reminds us of that. And all you do is get an answer. I think that's why I told the story. It's like, oh, well, here's how I can best be of service. I can just go in and be kind of a maternal nurturer to some boy men who are not dumb. I don't mean they're stunted in some kind, you know, I just mean like they're vulnerable and emotionally available in a way that reminds me of the guilelessness of children, and not every one of them, but plenty of them. That was the whole take I got. And how can I best be of service? I can just be, I can respond to that, you know, in my own way. So that's ongoing, but definitely clicking into this electric tone. Then we're in the White Wizard wave spell, and I don't know, what is it? I love the White Wizard wave spell. I feel really liberated from the culture. The culture, I don't know, I'm going to kind of sound off here on social media. I just enjoy listening to a different podcast about really the effect of Facebook on our culture now, like in now time, how it's affecting things. And I was raised without television, and I objected to that. I missed it. I thought I wanted to have it. I was raised without it. And I think at this point, confronting myself, I would say that the arguments against TV and a countercultural upbringing are the same arguments I'm making or choosing now to not participate in social media in an internet age. Like, I am terrible at social media. Terrible, because I want to be successful. I want to have a brand that, you know, gets picked up by a publisher. I want this thing to get bigger than me, because I'm sort of terrible at selling myself. I want someone to be attracted and take up natural time and give it more publicity. And none of that is ever going to happen if I don't build my own social media following. Those are the new rules. And I absolutely can't. It's just like, talk about starkness. Like, the other thing you can find out in your life is how how can I best be of service? That's like positive. How can I absolutely not be of service? Like, what is being erased? Where is my volition to succeed just evaporating? And for me, it's all about social media presence. Like, I can't be of service that way for some fundamental reason, and it's becoming so obvious in this electric year. So the White Wizard Wave Spell has kind of released me back to a place of pure enchantment or pure shamanism. And it's not like I am acting super shamanic. I just feel like I'm being released a little bit from the death grip of, should I be posting? And actually, should I be reading posts? Like, I just don't care. I think that it is so pervasively unhelpful to this much demonstrating publicly of who we are, instead of being quiet and inward a bit and just being who we are off the radar of the satellite flow. And I mentioned that, I think, because it's just a struggle for me, because it feels like I'm just admitting that I won't be able to have a public persona around these teachings. And then I just, over and over again, I think in a pretty truly shamanic way, just be like, well, that's not what it's about. It's really just about following the calendar, because it means so much to me. And then I'm grateful when I can find my groove in these episodes, so that I feel like someone is listening, usually, I think. So thanks for listening and caring. And I really do care. And I am not a holier-than-thou person, but I am a super emotionally honest person. And I just find it soul-crushing to like fight for a seat in the social media universe. It feels like being on a really crowded public transit, and I like, you know, the busyness and bustle of a public transit situation, but when it feels like you're on a bus and then there's tension because, you know, who's gonna be able to sit, and it's not just all of us careening, you know, in an overly populated situation, but there's building resentment and competition, and that's just when I would rather walk. And so I have that going on. So that's how I can best be of service, or I can't best be of service posting about anything. So you just have to listen to the podcasts and find the podcast, and welcome if you've just found the podcast, and thanks for listening if you still like the podcast. And it's totally cool if you're done with the podcast. I don't ever buy Eden Sky's calendars. When I bought Eden Sky's calendars in the beginning, a couple of years, she was how I could follow the calendar day by day. And it was wonderful. And then I stopped feeling like I was gravitating towards her teachings and her visuals. I just graduated, not necessarily progressively upward, but just like I was so grateful that I had the opportunity, and then I didn't need or want that opportunity anymore. And so I have a pretty good attitude about the people that listen to for a while, and they hear the Lisa Starr, you know, perspective, and I probably am redundant, and, you know, you need to get off the train at some point. And so I get that as well. And yeah, so White Wizard Wave Spell, talking about shamanism. This is a shamanic teaching. To that extent, I'm a shaman. You know, like, please know that I say that without a lot of, pomp. But the White Wizard time has a real resonance for me because I know I am trying to be helpful and healing by staying publicly attuned to the calendars. And what is your version of the White Wizard time? Are you more drawn to shamanic teachings or rituals or resonances than usual? Are you receiving healing? Are you offering healing? There's this nice timelessness quality, because I guess for an original shaman healer, it's just not about appointments, and time isn't a linear count, or it doesn't have punctuations like begin now, end now. Instead, you step into a flow if you're working with another person and trying to help them out of harm's way. Then you're just with each other as long as is required for that to be accomplished, or for, it to be explained. What is this process of healing to be? And so when we're in the White Wizard time, we aren't nailed down to different kinds of punctuality, and therefore we get this release that feels kind of like being high, a different version of being high than spaced out, which I think of more as the Red Skywalker byproduct, kind of like you're so spaced out you don't really have much grounding. But instead, that White Wizard is just like an investment in a much larger universe than the everyday. And it's unconscious. It's not like, I'm going to take these 13 days and I'm going to just think about, the ancient era interspersed with this modern moment. Instead, you're just drawn into larger perception of life experience. And, I think that the fun byproduct is you're just like less uptight about what's happening now, kind of like lost in a time flow. So whatever it picks at you in the moment is kind of surrounded and deepened by a much bigger expanse of perception. And that's liberating. It feels like freedom to me. Let's think White Wizard, enchantment, timelessness, receptivity. Yeah. I got in a fight with someone on Red Galactic Dragon about time. It was a person who's been doing a brick patio project with me, for me, and I've been just working my ass off so that I'm not ever the imperialist colonial presence who just points to things and says, move that, do that. Instead, I prep for people when they come, and I clean up when they leave, and I do my own projects while they're here, and I just work really hard, and it's what I do. I'm a blue overtone storm. But the negotiation around employing people always feels colonial to me. That's why I'm not an employer. Like, I'm not a good employee, I'm not a good employer. I just do better with exchanges that feel equal and minimal. But you have to hire people to do some of these more epic tasks in a home renovation. And it's such an interesting lunar kind of dichotomy that somebody can feel like you're being racist with them, because there's a lot of root racism in the culture when it comes to the caste system of, immigrants and people that are immigrated, 100 years before. And I have like relatives that came over on the Mayflower, so I have, some kind of weird, sick, hierarchical American presence. But then there's sexism. So I would call that like, okay, racism. Am I racist? I'm sure that I am biased in ways that I'm conscious and unconscious of, sadly, but trying to be accountable and say that aloud and face it. Just like prejudice, it's a little tiny bit innate and subconscious. But sexism is also pervasive and multicultural, multinational, and, you know, that interesting face-off between a man and a woman, where I recognize, like, oh, I'm being treated differently because I'm female. So mentioning that, because the fight was just over, you know, time, the time card, and it's not a great time to get into details of time in the White Wizard timelessness. It's also Mercury retrograde, like, it's happening at the end of this week. We've been in the pre-shadow. I kind of spaced it out. Now I'm on board. So this week you can anticipate that conversations, clarity of conversations, are going to be choppy and challenged. I haven't been sounding as astrological. I go into these sort of storytelling, COVID, isolationist outbursts, and I do mean for the astrology to be really palpable here. So, like, I'm telling you as your astrologer that we're in a retrograde process, going into Mercury retrograde, the real heart of the retrograde, for 3 weeks, and the 24th and 25th are the key days. So it's imminent, and just be gentle with yourself and don't be surprised. Kind of like have fun with the truth of it. Like, oh, wow, that what I said was taken totally the wrong way. That's what happened in my conversation with the man who was working on the bricks. Like, what? I didn't say that. That's not what I meant. You know, okay, we're just in, I was like inwardly like, is this just retrograde bullshit? And there's not really anything I can do about it. I can just get ready. I could just put my helmet on for the, you know, crashing into the retrograde. So you have that going on. You have the apex of the White Wizard wave spell that we're about to hit. Wednesday, white solar wind. Thursday, blue planetary night. That's the apex, the planetary day of any 13-day, 13-moon, 13-year wave spell, the planetary moment. And then the spectral is the undoing of that ascendancy. But we push our way to the heights in the next couple of days of the White Wizard wave spell. And then yellow spectral seed, which I guess is Friday, will be the breaking of the wave. It'll be a yellow seed day. And I've been kind of interested in telling you about the venals. So let's see if I can figure out the one we're on. Venals come every yellow seed day. If you don't want to know what a venal is, then I'm sorry. You can always order literature from me, or you can just look it up on the internet, V-I-N-A-L-S. In any case, the venals are every 20 days, and this year, this yellow electric seed year, they always come on a yellow seed day. And so the first day of the year, July 26th, yellow electric seed, the venal has a little phrase. It was the one who knows. And then 20 days later, it was listens in silence. And then 20 days later, in order to integrate the universe. And now on Friday, 20 days later, it is based on the knowledge. So this is our fourth venal. There are 18 every 20 days. That makes 360 days with a five-day vibe at the end of the year. Boy, if you've never heard this conceptually before, it's going really fast. But I've talked about it at length for those who have listened more. In a more long-term fashion, you know what I'm referencing. So I just wanted you to jot that down somewhere, that for the next 20 days, based on the knowledge, is our little refrain. And, you know, it's a yellow seed day and a yellow seed year coming up that day. It's a yellow spectral seed day, which means that right now we're in the antipode, the opposite wave spell of the year. Boy, a lot of details. And then we'll have a red crystal serpent on Saturday, and then I'll be back. I sound really caffeinated. I think I am. It's hot where I'm living. It's so hot. It's a hot spell in Indian summer on the first day of fall on the equinox with a full moon. And it is I think I over-caffeinated to compensate for that. But it made me put a podcast up. So thank you. Thank you, cacao and coffee berries from Central America, like the Maya are as well. And yeah, a little announcement on Instagram that I'm not announcing these podcasts on Instagram. So just if you care, get yourself signed up so that they come into your feed. And I'll try to be regular in my uploading. I am Lisa Starr. I am another yourself. And in Mayan, we say, in my cache.